BFM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station, broadcasting from the now hiringiowa.com studios. Live from the capital city, it's Steve on Sports.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. Missing the Iowa State Fair, but glad the Iowa State Fair was last week and not as hot as it is right now. We had a couple of warm days out at the fair. But boy, we had some beautiful days out there as well. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We are bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ, Facebook at 1700 The Champ. And the website, 1700champ.com. Lots of stuff going on this week. So Tuesday, we're going to get Twins and Brewers. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's the Twins and the Texas Rangers. Those are home games. The Brewers game is in Milwaukee. And then on next Monday, Tuesday, it's the Twins and the Guardians. So have that to look forward to. Once again, happy Monday. I hope everybody's staying cool. Wow. Some warm temperatures out there. As always, I want to thank Heritage Building Maintenance and Northwest Bank and Woodman Controls and Broadlands Hospital for being a part of the program. Couldn't do this program without all of them. And thank you very much for being a part of the show. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott will be in studio. And then Friday back again. And then we are into the first week of college football. It's coming up, folks. We are right there. First week of high school football. Next week then we get into week one of college football, because this is week zero this week. Who knew that college football. See, that's one more of those things out there, right? That, oh man, it's for the kids. It's for the kids. You know, college sports are for the kids. We're now into week zero. Next week we'll be at week negative one, as long as they can make money off of it. But then after we get through next weekend, or this upcoming weekend, then you start jumping into NFL football, and then it gets into crazy time. So looking forward to all the sports that are going on. Lot of news out there. Gonna spend a little bit of time, say some thank yous out there for getting Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott out at the fair. We were out there on Tuesday and Thursday. Number one person to thank, as always, is Scott. Coming in and doing the show with me. We had a blast, had a good time out there. And Steve, for being in here both times and making sure that we were heard, and appreciate that. And just loved being able to do that at the fair, just kind of hang out, see people. So wanted to thank them and make sure that they realize how special it is that to get to do stuff like that. I wanted to talk a little bit about the fair. I haven't seen the last kind of bit of numbers, but it's been a long time that I can remember as good a weather as we had at the fair. Now, I know some people for those last that the last day I was out there was Thursday, and it was beautiful on Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday got a little bit warmer, and I get, you know, you have to kind of change up what you're doing out there and all of that. Pretty sure the fair people, all the concession stands and all that kind of dig it, because people are really, you know, they want drinks and they want food, and it's exciting. And I just wanted to give a couple of my two cents. First off, thank Cumulus for allowing Scott and I to be out there and to give us the opportunity, you know, to do Iowa State Fair stuff. I've been doing the Iowa State Fair, even before, but my recollection from age 12 on up with my mom and dad and family and everything, and then getting to take my kids out there The Iowa State Fair is a huge part of our lives, and not any specific reason except for just to enjoy it. I think we actually, at different times with different sons out there, we sat and did different things. It was, we kind of have a what we consider to be, it's kind of an East Side tradition. It's a steam block tradition nowadays. It was when Gary Slater was there, it was a part of that tradition as well. But going out on the Wednesday before, we got to stay out there until 8 o'clock. Had a couple of beers, got to see some of the things. We were out there Thursday, Friday, and I'm trying to think if we were out there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It was a lot, but it just I kind of just wanted to hit on some things. Some of the special things out there for us were huge. Jalapeno Pete family. Love the family that owns and runs, and they did some upgrades and pretty much I think they doubled their seating spaces, and it was a lot of fun to enjoy Jalapeno Pete's. There was a couple of times we went out. Specifically, I think it was I'm trying to think if it was Friday. I think it was. It was the first Friday of the fair. We got out there. It was I don't know, around 10. Maybe a little earlier than that. But we went up to Jalapeno Pete's, had a table. There was like 8 of us, 10 of us by the end of the night. We were there from 10 to 10:30 p.m., 10 a.m. to 10:30 p.m., just sitting, talking, having fun, watching people. Really enjoyed that. We took Nana out to the fair, which was a blast. I think she had a great time. It was a lot of fun to go around. Andrew was with us on that day and helped push Nana around. So that was just, it was outstanding to have her out there and let her enjoy the Iowa State Fair and met up with the kids a bunch of times, met up with, Scott and family and friends and saw my Aunt Pat and my Uncle Mickey. Mickey hung out with us for pretty much a whole evening as well. It was just really special, and it for us as a family and for a lot of families, the state fair is kind of the last thing of the summer. I mean, a lot of kids went back to school today. A lot of colleges started today. I have nieces and nephews up in Iowa State today, starting their first day, had their first class today. So I just wanted to take some time. I had some of the best food. It's amazing the food that you can get. My favorite, I had the poke bowl 3 or 4 times out there. The gizmo, because it was right next to our stand, I had that 3 or 4 times out there. You could find stuff that was quite good for you too. The only thing that I had a couple of cookies. I never, you know, that's kind of off of the heart diet. Man, I went way off the heart diet while I was out there. I tried to be good, but between having a couple of beer, you can't be at the Iowa State Fair and not have a beer. I'm sorry. Here's one thing, and I know it's not big on people's list, but I read an article on Sunday. Somebody sent it to me because they know that I'm a non-alcoholic beer drinker, and there are so many good NA beers. They could have a couple NA beers out there. They could charge the same amount. I don't care, but it would be nice for folks like me who, with, you know, going through what I've been through, don't need to be having a few more beers than what the doctor allowed, which was zero. So that would be a nice thing. That's one of the things that we were thinking about. But I know a lot of people that enjoyed the food, and I will tell you that the top 10 food that when Cumulus was part of that, I got to be a part of that, to go out and taste the 10 foods, to get down to three. The three groupings that made it, if you went by their booths, you could tell that the marketing and everything had done a really good job. They were always busy. Joni at the Rib Shack, she's killing it, folks. You can't get near her stands. It's incredible. I had one bad thing, and it was actually a good thing because I didn't need it again. The first day we were there, we shared the cookie dough on a stick, and I was craving cookie dough on the stick. It was my last night out there. Knew I wasn't going to be able to go out there because we had to work on the house this weekend. It's like 7 o'clock on Friday, and they were out of cookie dough. I'm like, okay, you can't be in the top 10 of fair food and be out of your product at 7 o'clock at night. So I missed out on that. But once again, thank you to the Iowa State Fair. Thanks for Cumulus for, you know, having us have the ability to be out there to do our show live. We had some people stop by. Brooks stopped by a couple of times, and it just, the craft beer tent, they stopped by as well. Melissa Merrifield stopped by with Broadlawns. It was special. Scott and I had a really good time. The family had a really good time, and that's all you can ask for. And when Scott comes in here tomorrow, we'll talk to him. He's spent a lot more time out there than I did. Stayed out there a few nights as well in the camper. So we'll get some of that from him as well. You are, just to get into a little sports here, you're starting to see a little bit more fallout from the gambling investigation that's happening in Ames and in Iowa City. Jarrell Brock left the football team today, and I'm trying to find it really quick here, that there was a manager of all. So I'll just read, and it's from Keith Murphy. I'll give him total credit today. Iowa State confirms running back Jarrell Brock has voluntarily left the program. It was first reported by the Register as well. We'll give them credit as well. Former Iowa State basketball player Jeremiah Williams is no longer with the program. He was charged with tampering with records. A lot of these charges are tampering with records, which means getting a sports betting app without the ability. I mean, not old enough, or he shouldn't have had the sports betting app is pretty much what that is. That was a little bit of that as well. Let me see if I can. It was just here, and I apologize. Because I got another big. Oh, Hawkeye men's basketball student manager Evan Schuster has been charged with tampering with records as part of a state sports gambling investigation. Schuster allegedly placed 10 bets on Iowa men's basketball. So that is kind of one of the first fallouts from the University of Iowa. I think they're up there doing an investigation right now after Iowa State had their turn in that as well. Just a couple of other things just to do with non-sports things, but it's, I don't know. I don't know where I fall on this, because I'm one of those that we have a legal system because we're a free country and we have a legal system to where you get your day in court and you get to do that. You had some Northwestern football players that have gone on the record and have talked to investigators to say that they don't think that it is that Pat Fitzgerald, the football coach, former football coach of Northwestern, didn't get his fair due diligence on the things that happened. It was signed by a lot of people on the football program, a lot of student athletes in the football program. One of the things that you have to realize with that, and with that being said, sorry. they're going to back their coach. I mean, I think that we have been pretty out front and have been pretty much a stickler for saying this, is that if this stuff happened, which from all levels, it seems that it did in some form and in some way, when someone has to be held responsible for that, it has to be the coach of the football team. The coach of the football team has to control his football players. If they put people at risk, then somebody on the coaching staff and somebody in the administration should have known and should have taken care of it. The fact that it was not brought up to people above the football program and the issues that it caused, listen, you're going to lose your job over that. Did he probably take, I understand the different levels. It's pretty easy to understand that a football coach and a head football coach of a Division I FBS school is not going to have total control over 120 student athletes. But you have to know darn well that you have a group of individuals that are. And if that's where the disconnect came, it's hard to put all that blame on the people that you had. It has to stop somewhere. And I think it stops at the football coach. You're the head football coach. You're in charge of the football program. You're in charge of the student athletes. You have a contract with the student athletes. You made a promise to the student athletes. And I think that's the reason that Pat Fitzgerald was let go without really having any say in just saying that you let this go. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ.
65 to learn how you can help first responders in your community today.
Brewed in Des Moines. You're listening to Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great day. Drive home safe. Be cool. Get the air conditioning going. Wow. It is incredible outside. Incredibly warm. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700thechamp and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700thechamp as well. Tuesday and Thursday of this week, it's Twins Brewers, Twins Rangers. Friday, Saturday, is Sunday is Twins Rangers as well. Next Monday, Tuesday is the Twins and the Guardians. We are a Minnesota Twins affiliate. We are a Kansas City Chiefs affiliate. We are a UNI Panthers affiliate. Just got an email from my buddy, J.W. Cox, with the who calls the football, basketball, women's, all calls games for UNI. Let's just say it, what he does, man. He does a great job. Wants to come on and talk. We got Panthers, Cyclones. It's a tough one. Panther here, a Cyclone. Both. Going to have him on next week. As soon as I get done in here today, we'll figure out a time. Then going to have him on pretty much weekly through the basketball season, which I'm looking forward to and looking forward to getting. He's a great guy. Love the enthusiasm and everything that he has for Panther sports and looking forward to that. Also looking forward to talking a little bit about Northwest Bank. Northwest Bank, commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal, business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, and 3 locations in Omaha and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from a vehicle loan to a mortgage. It all starts there. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the BizBuzz blog for their business insight or simply use their multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on, member FDIC. Couldn't do this without Northwest Bank. It's pretty special. It's a great bank. Did good for us as well as many other customers in helping us take care of a home loan. So very excited about talking about Northwest Bank. Just to finish up a little bit with Northwestern, and then we're going to kind of dovetail a little bit into what happened at Michigan today. And they kind of go together in a certain aspect. Jim Harbaugh was in trouble. The NCAA wanted to suspend him for 5 games. They always do their due process. You have a right to an appeal. You have a right to do all that. Buying somebody a lunch that needed to eat. I think they came upon an agreement of a 4-game suspension. And when it went to the infraction committee didn't like the fact of what it was. So they denied it. So I'm assuming that they'll go back and take a look at it again. In response to that, the University of Michigan and Jim Harbaugh himself, imposed a 3-game suspension for Jim Harbaugh. It's the first 3 games of the year. I don't have Michigan's schedule in front of me. It's not like they're playing Ohio State. It's not like he can't be there leading up to all that. I just believe this is missing games. I did not hear them say three. It's just a 3-game ban. It's not a 3-week ban. So, it is what it is. I have a difficulty, number one, with a rule like that. Number two, I have a difficulty with all the other things that we're letting go through anymore, how something like that still has teeth to it. But for all of those today, at certain points, kind of slap back at me because of what I said about Northwestern and this with Michigan and saying what I just said, because I said it on social media as well. The stuff that happened at Northwestern was a lot different than Jim Harbaugh buying somebody a lunch or a dinner. Completely different. If I'm a parent of that individual, I'm like, hey, coach, thanks. Man, maybe it'd have been better if I'd have paid you back. Maybe it'd have been better if my son would have had some cash on him so he could have paid for his own. I feel bad, and it's too bad. What happened at Northwestern was totally different, folks. It's not the same thing. Everybody that's angry about what happened at Northwestern is angry, for one, because of Coach. And I understand it. Coach Pat had been there a long time, is a Northwestern person. He bleeds Northwestern in all of those things. And to boot, had nothing to do with the individuals and some of the things that happened. His responsibility is as a coach. He's in charge of the program, and this happened at his program. So unless somebody can, I get it. Northwestern's now blurring the vision, is saying that, that they're blurring it enough to say that, well, it can't all fall on the coach. I totally agree with that. I think it should have fell on a lot more people than just the coach. And I'm in total agreement of that. I do not think that was the only person. I mean, I would be angry with the athletic director. I would be angry with the assistant athletic director. I would be angry with assistant coaches. I would be angry with everybody. I would be angry with players who are still angry because it was just, as they said, just football stuff. Well, these people that had it happen to them didn't think it was just football stuff. So you can't use that. But as a coaching staff, you're responsible for your football players. You know, I'm getting tired of the, well, they're football players. They should be able to handle that. Or blah, 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 blah. They're 18 to 21-year-olds who want to be at a school to play a sport, to play a sport. Not to be hazed, not to be derogatory, have things at them, or any of those things. That's not what they're there for. And you can't have stuff like that happen. The coaching staff is responsible for their players. And I have to be really honest with you, because even after saying that, I have a hard time, because you have football players at some universities, and I want to believe that Iowa and Iowa State are not the only two colleges in the United States that have people that have been betting on games. If they are, that is substantially out of whack what everybody considers sports betting to be like. I have this opinion of sports betting and an opinion on how big it is. And then people send me stuff and I'm like, okay, I was wrong. It is way bigger in a way bigger, it's a way bigger cash cow. It's way bigger in everything. And when Randy Wehofer was in here with us and he said, of all things, now think about this, of all things, there is a casino or a gambling establishment in Cincinnati in the baseball stadium, and the first person to place a bet in that casino or sports betting was Pete Rose. If that's not a slap at baseball, I don't know what a slap at baseball looks like or feels like, because that is it's not going away. It's not going anywhere. But so in just 5 minutes of talking about Northwestern and Pat Fitzgerald, Coach Pat, and saying that he was responsible for what happened on there, 3 texts. So how come Matt Campbell and Kirk Ferentz aren't responsible for their football players betting? Well, number one, I'm assuming that it wasn't done on football grounds. What happened at Northwestern was done in the facility. And to a certain extent, I agree with you. If it had been 40 players at Iowa State and 40 players at the University of Iowa, you'd have to take a pretty deep look at the coaching around there. You'd have to take a pretty good look at Jamie Pollard. Not that I'm going to the new athletic director at Iowa. That's not going to fall upon her. It's not the same as what happened at Northwestern. Period. It is something that a student athlete did upon himself, knowing the rules, and still going out and doing what he knew that he could not do. The young men at Northwestern did not have a choice in this, folks. It wasn't something that they wanted to do. It wasn't something that made them feel better. You gotta think before you send things to me. Will you please? Come on. You're better than that. Or should there be some accountability in the sports programs? And here's where the accountability has to come from. And I think it doesn't, because I don't think people understand how prevalent sports betting is. And it's pretty prevalent. It's making some places a lot of money. And here's the really funny thing. Now, there are some people. It's not easy. And that is what everybody in the sports world worries about, is getting inside information and passing it along and having someone make money on bets. Period. We've been there. It's not good. And it doesn't end well. And so you have to do your due diligence. And I think everybody kind of went, huh. But once again, this is a remote program that was checking things out in the state of Iowa, of all places, where you would not think that we would be in the sports betting mecca. But when you look at sports betting and you look at gambling in general in the state of Iowa, are we New Jersey? No. Are we New York? No. Are we Las Vegas? No. Are we, you know, but we're in the top 10. So you have to be made aware of it, and you have to understand the responsibilities. I think that kind of takes care of, you know, so just to make sure I got this right, the story was a letter from 86X Northwestern athletes that criticized the administration for lack of due process leading to Pat Fitzgerald's firing, outlines a clear failure of unbiased and principled leadership by Michael Scheel and Derek Gregg. Good luck. You have something like that, and it hits, and it's out in public, and you have to figure out something to do. The best way to turn the tide on the story is to get rid of the person who was in charge of the program. Is it fair? Probably not. But that I do not have any regret if I'm Northwestern for what they did. And I think that when all is said and done, I think it's going to be less of a story. But I still think it's going to be a story. And this is the rest of the Jim Harbaugh. It just popped up here. So there is no interim head coach, still to be determined. Included in the self-imposed sanction is a 3-game suspension for head coach Jim Harbaugh to be served during the opening 3 regular season games of 2023. The sanctions are in addition to previously imposed recruiting restriction. While the ongoing NCAA matters continues through the NCAA process, today's announcement is our way of addressing the mistakes that our department has agreed to in an attempt to further that process, said Ward Manuel, the Donald R. Shepherd Director of Athletics. We will continue to support Coach Harbaugh, his staff, and our outstanding student athletes. Per the NCAA guidelines, we cannot comment further until the matter is resolved. An announcement on interim coaching will be made at a future date. After they couldn't come to an agreement, I think that's what the University of Michigan needed to do. And I will hop in there with everybody else. Missing the first 3 games of the season isn't going to be a death knell to the Michigan Wolverines not having Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines. I think they'll be okay. It's later in the season that would have made a difference. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. I got some potpourri coming up next, and then we go to the top of the hour. Zach Steenblok coming in. Be right back.
101.3 FM and 1700 The Chimps and Breeze, Iowa Sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Please drive safely home. Please have your air conditioning on. Wow, it is hot. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Tuesday, Thursday, Twins, Brewers, Twins, Rangers. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Twins, Rangers. Next Monday, Tuesday, Twins, Guardians. lot of baseball coming up. A lot of football coming up. If we get some time today, we'll talk about that. If not, we'll definitely talk about that tomorrow when Scott's in here as well. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance, providing peace of mind and protecting the future of your buildings and its occupants. Heritage Building Maintenance, as certified partners of science-proven microbial control, provides an advanced level of janitorial and custodial services through data-driven research and development. Customers who participate in their science-proven program can rest assured they are receiving state-of-the-art surface protection, making their environments cleaner, safer, and more healthy for their occupants. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about Heritage Building Maintenance and the science-proven microbial control program, feel free to reach out to one of the dedicated team members through their website at heritagebldg.com or call 515-868-0842 today. Let me do that again, 515-868-0842 today. Heritage Building Maintenance. Thank you very much, everyone. Okay, just a little potpourri. I pulled some of this up a little earlier and found this. It put a smile on my face, and I'm actually looking forward to talking about it for a second. Today, the USC Trojans hired Washington AD Jen Cohen as their school's new athletic director. She now becomes one of two of the most powerful athletic directors in the country that have just been hired that are both women, Beth Goetz for the University of Iowa, and now Jen Cohen at USC. Two high-profile programs, USC joining the Big Ten next year, and that's pretty exciting. I don't think it's going to be the last. I think it's a step in the right direction. I think you get a – how can you not? I think you get a different perspective, and I think that's okay. It doesn't mean that the other perspectives are wrong. It's just a different way of going at different problems. It has to. And there's one of the things – it's a big thing with this program. It's a big thing when Scott and I are together. I understand that in NCAA, in sports in NCAA, that men's sports dominate. But they had help, folks. We're not saying that women's sports are going to overtake men's sports in NCAA and on television or wherever or whatever you want to think. But there are chances and possibilities and more likeliness that they are going to continue to grow because they're not being held back. They're starting to be treated in the same atmosphere, same stratosphere. They weren't even close before. Every year that I've done this show, it gets better and better and better and better. So that's all we can hope for. But making hires like this are going to be enormously helpful to women's athletics in this country. It has to. And that doesn't mean that there are not outstanding athletic directors out there that are doing their due diligence and doing things that we would like to make sure that they're doing. And they are doing that. So I don't want to, it's just, I get barked at sometimes. Well, that, you know, that's probably not a great thing to talk about on the radio. It's not going to, yeah, it is going to get me somewhere because it's something that I believe. And if I believe it and I talk about it enough, then maybe others will listen. It does matter because it matters to me and it matters to Scott. So it matters to this program. Wanted to talk a little bit about the Iowa State Fair again. The Iowa State Fair, this was the second biggest fair in 169 years. They were well over 1.1 million in attendance in 2023. I can guarantee you that, yes, they did, because it was busy. It was overwhelming. The first Friday was overwhelming. the second Thursday and Friday were overwhelming. I have a little more out here. This year, 112,258 fairgoers attended concerts. The largest contemporary Christian concert in fair history took place the first night of the fair, 92-94 for King and Country. Eric Church and country rockers the Chicks, used to be known as the Dixie Chicks, now the Chicks, each brought in more than 17,000 fans. Comedian Jeff Dunham ate fair food and drank craft beer during his show in front of a crowd of 7,500. Annie Clements, the bass guitar player for Maureen Morris, won the yodeling contest. More than 13,000 concert goers danced and sang through a show with Ludacris and Sean Kingston. It was amazing. Jason Aldean was, I think he was 17,000 and a few. So here's something I'm going to say about the Iowa State Fair, about the Iowa, my Iowa family, all my brothers and sisters in the state of Iowa. We can show the country that the simple fact that Jason Aldean and the Dixie Chicks both had huge concerts here means that we can forgive and forget and still enjoy. The Dixie Chicks, for whatever reason, and for whatever people wanted to do, whatever they did, you know, they took some pounding. And I'm glad that they're back. I love their music. And I'm glad that they had a great turnout. Jason Aldean, for Try That in a Small Town, a lot of people wanted to cancel him. A lot of radio stations. Now a lot of radio stations are doing the exact opposite and playing and understanding that, one, they're songs. Two, everybody has a right to their opinion. If you don't, that's the thing. If you don't like it, don't listen. If you don't like it, don't buy it. And then let it have its own course. Don't go out and social media crap on people. That's annoying. A record number of water bottles through the 11-day fair, a record 20,850 cases of bottled water were sold. A record 668 volunteers staffed the water sales booth. Man. Eight new records for animal sales happened this weekend. One of the biggest, the grand champion, Market Hog, Delaney Runner from Gilman sold for $150,000. Other livestock highlights included 14,000 hogs entered in the show, 16 Supreme, 6 horse hitch competitors. I mean, everything. Wood carvings, record-setting wood carvings sold at the Iowa State Fair. Over 700 plus participants in a quilt contest. It is crazy everything that happened. And why? Because it is the state fair for next year is August 8th through August 18th, 354 days away. So we have that to put on our calendar. Here's how attendance compared to 2022. The fair topped 1 million visitors in 2002, 1.8 million in 2010, when 967,381 went through the gates in 2020. The all-time attendance record was in 2019, 1.170375. So a great day. The biggest days. The first Friday of the fair was 101. The Saturday was 118. Sunday was 114. The last Friday and the last Saturday of the fair were 112,048 and 112,732. And here's a big number. Sundays, even with the heat, 85,714 were at the fair as well. So that's I know I talked about the Iowa State Fair. It's a big deal to me, and it's something that is a huge part of my life, and I love to talk about it. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Zach Steenblok coming in to talk on the radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great day. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook at 1700 The Champ, or the website 1700thechamp.com. Twins Brewers tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The Twins have the Rangers, and next week they have the Guardians. So we have a lot of baseball coming up. We got a lot of football coming up. We got a lot of different things coming up. My next guest, he is at Zach Steenblok on Twitter. It is Zach Steenblok. Zach, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. So the most important thing of all to all the listeners out there, how was your first visit to Costco? You're a Costco person now.
It was very overwhelming. I did not know that they didn't take credit cards that weren't Visa, and they didn't give you bags.
Wow. Well, that's a lot like Sam's Club, except for I didn't know that. So really, Costco only allows Visa cards.
I guess so. Good thing my debit card's a Visa card.
There you go.
But, yes, pretty...
It's a pretty big
pretty
store.
Rattled. Right. I just have a bunch of loose groceries in my back seat now, with it being 1,000 degrees. So.
Oh, wow. To be an adult. Man, you're adulting,
I know, right?
Today. That is awesome. So I haven't got to talk to you a ton. So I wanted to get – first thing I wanted to do is kind of just get your overall outlook on the sports betting scandal, to say a little bit today, University of Iowa basketball manager was the next person in line to get for lying about sports betting and betting on a team. Do you think this is going to become a bigger problem across the country, or is it just something for some really odd reason it's only happening in the state of Iowa?
I mean, I think part of it is just it being legal in Iowa, and sports gambling is not legal in every state, so you kind of get that. But I think, you know, it wasn't the school that signed off on it. It was the Iowa Gambling Association or the commission or whatever. So I think it'll be state by state, but I don't know why you wouldn't regulate it and have everyone be compliant, not just a few schools.
Yeah, that's the part that I'm not quite understanding yet, and waiting to kind of see, you know, what all comes of this. That it seems to be pretty driven towards a couple of schools in the state of Iowa, which I thought was kind of interesting. Some of the other Jarrell Brock no longer, he left the program. You have some others that have as well. So leading into, I mean, we are 2 weeks, well, we're less than 2 weeks away from the first Iowa State football game. You're an Iowa State Cyclone fan. You know, expectations for Iowa State football this year for you is?
To win five or more games, unfortunately. I think it's set at 5.5 or 5 or 4.5, somewhere around there. And, you know, I hope we win some football games. We're going to have to be sneaky like we have in the past, where we're underestimated by other teams. And then, you know, hopefully I think there's four games we should win, hoping to sneak, you know, two or three more, hopefully.
Well, I think this my opinion. I wanted to get yours. I don't think people are worried about the defense. I think they understand that there's a lot of defense that's coming back, a lot of good players coming back, which is going to help. And they do have one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. So I think that bodes well. But here's the million-dollar question. Do you go with just turning 18-year-old freshman J.J. Cole, or kind of a Brock Purdy kind of story with Rocco Breck? What would you do?
I mean, I think you do – it's tough, and I've never liked this before, and I'm going to say it. I think you – if it's pretty close in practice, maybe by committee, you know, whoever plays better in the games that they're playing in, whether it's, you know, quarter by quarter, drive by drive, we need to get both of them reps.
I agree.
Whoever's going to be the better quarterback, you know, we'll show that, and then, you know, one of them will take the back seat.
Are you looking more forward to college football or NFL football?
I don't know. That's a tough one. It's pretty close. There's nothing better than waking up, you know, early on a Saturday, looking at the board, watching, you know, game day, and catching the end of Premier League soccer right into the 11 o'clock games, and then games going up until, you know, midnight for the Pac-12. But probably the NFL, I mean, it's king, right, and every professional sports aspect.
Here's the great question, and I love asking this question because I actually think that watching college football might be more entertaining than watching college or professional football. But when you throw in fantasy football, there's no contest after that point.
No.
It is the biggest. If you're gambling on it, I don't even work in a very big office, and we have two different groups that do it. So, I mean, it's an amazing thing. But, you know, for somebody out there that doesn't, what is so unique or so exciting for you to do fantasy football?
I think it's the camaraderie you have with your friends, right? I'm in two different leagues, and one of them is, you know, college friends who, you know, some of them I haven't seen since I graduated 5.5 years ago, and it's a good way to stay connected and, you know, talk the smack that we've all gotten used to with fantasy football. And then I have one with my high school friends, and it's, you know, higher stakes, you know, the higher buy-in keeper league. So you have to stay locked in and serious, and it kind of makes it worth it at the end, you know, for the monetary value.
Once again, we're talking to Zach Steenblok. He's at Zach Steenblok on Twitter. I'm kind of going around a little bit today just because it's still, we haven't gotten to the meat of some of the other seasons. Your thoughts so far this year on Major League Baseball, and maybe something that Major League Baseball could do better, and maybe something that Major League Baseball may need to get rid of in the future?
You know, I really haven't watched that many MLB games this year. Kind of been lacking on that.
See, and that's surprising because, man, you and I used to watch a ton of baseball
right,
together.
Exactly. And it's nice to toss on, you know, at night, you know, just in the background. But once, there's nothing better than, you know, playoff and October baseball. Super excited for that. But you know, our favorite team stinks and
horrible.
500
should all be fired.
right. And I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just getting older. But I haven't watched much baseball, and it's too bad.
One of the things that I usually love talking to you about, and this one kind of fits in because you did talk about the Premier League a little bit. For us ordinary fans out there, for soccer in general, Messi being in country here, how big a deal is that?
I mean, I think he's made it. It's great for the sport. There's so many people now who have their eyes on, you know, health. And with Messi, he's won everything from the World Cup to, you know, the Champions League to, you know, every other league he could have played in, he's won. And kind of just rounding out his career in the United States and, you know, getting people hyped for soccer. And, you know, David Beckham is a part owner, and I think that helps too. And, you know, Miami is a good, you know, space for soccer, right? There's a lot of, you know, soccer fans there. And I hope more players come, you know, come over to the States. And I would love the MLS to be a serious soccer league. I think it would be great. And, you know, the United States knows how to put on a sporting event. And I think it can go, you know, leaps and bounds from what it is now.
It's incredible how good he is. And I know that
it's not fair.
He's at a different level.
So good.
But you don't understand. I mean, and for all these teams to get to see him and play with him and actually see what he does on the field, it has to make us better.
Exactly. And there's a lot of, you know, young players that play in the States, and then a lot of older players who come here and kind of, you know, Zlatan, you know, Ibrahimovic came here and played for the Galaxy for a year or two. You know, same with Beckham. So instead of people coming here on, you know, the tail end of their careers, hopefully, you know, with the monetary value, and if we get more players, it'll be more elite, and people will want to come play here.
So we are coming up to week zero. I don't know how you feel about week zero. I'm all for it. I'm like, let these kids go. I mean, I want to see them play. There's a few interesting games out there. I think Navy Notre Dame is an interesting game. I think Florida Utah is an extremely interesting game. You know, and Virginia Tennessee, TCU Colorado. I mean, there's some good games that are going to be coming
TCU
up.
TCU Colorado game is the one that I have circled. I don't care who's playing. It could be Dowling versus Valley week zero. As long as I have college football on, you know, I'll be locked in front of the TV. I'm glad Iowa State doesn't play week zero. I feel like it'd just kind of be weird, you know, if they did. But, you know, I'm giddy that it's almost here. And it seems like we haven't had football in so long.
Even though I know that you're an Iowa State fan, and we still have to talk about both sides of the state here. University of Iowa have a very interesting year getting ready to come up. If you look at their schedule and you see some of the games that are on there, this is for them. It's the last season that they're going to have a schedule like this. You are going to have to play different teams after this year. This is one of those years. It's kind of make or break for Brian Ferentz. It's out there. They, you know, for a team that wasn't real big on the transfer portal, to get a transfer portal in and get a quarterback out of the deal, I mean, everything's kind of leaning toward the Iowa Hawkeyes having a, you know, not a breakout season. I mean, they're a good football team, but having a different kind of season than what they've had in the past. As a non-Iowa, I'm not saying a fan, but just it's not the team that you follow. What are your expectations for the University of Iowa?
I mean, Iowa has the third easiest schedule in Power Five. I feel like this happens every 4 years for Iowa, and they usually, I think the last time this happened, they lost to Michigan State in the Big Ten championship game.
Yep.
But it's when this time comes around, Iowa fans and the players and the coaches know that they have to really mess up not to, you know, at least be in the top 10, right? I hate to say it, you know, Iowa's a good football program. They always have been. It'd be nice if Iowa State had the same consistency. But I don't imagine Iowa losing very many football games this year.
No, and I agree with that. I mean, the only thing that's out there, I mean, injuries, you just can't control them. You know, you're going to have to be able to come back from things like that. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, how far they can go with, you know, they still have Brian Ferentz there, and it makes everybody feel uncomfortable when you have to talk about him. But it's interesting to see some of those things that are going on. Getting into a little bit of NFL. NFL is still a couple of weeks away. Like you said, and we both said this coming in, I mean, they are the behemoth in sports. Expectations for the NFL season. I just taking a quick look over the weekend, I mean, I think there's 6, 7, 8 teams that are going to be really, really good. But how many teams do you really believe can compete with Kansas City if everybody's healthy?
Off the top of my head, you know, Ravens, Eagles.
You're just being nice to me because I'm on the
no,
phone.
No, I'm serious. I'm very serious. I've seen a lot, and a lot of people talk about the Ravens. And last year, they were the injury team, right? They didn't have – they had everyone on the, you know, IR at some point in time. And the NFL is the biggest thing is if you can keep your players healthy who are, you know, the star players, you're going to do good. And, you know, some teams that should be playoff contenders will have struggles making the playoffs if they can't stay healthy. But I would say the Bills, Bengals, Chiefs, Eagles, you know, maybe the Dolphins too, depending on how Tua plays, how they can protect him. Who else am I missing? I think the Browns could be a sneaky team too.
Yeah, it's all on Deshaun Watson's shoulders now.
Deshaun Watson is, and they have really good defense and some really good, you know, personnel on the offense too.
Before he went through all this stuff, the top three quarterbacks in the NFL were Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and Tom Brady. Period. I mean, it wasn't right. Even close. And people.
I mean, he was winning games in Houston. Houston was dog water.
Yeah, it was bad, and it's interesting to say. I've got a minute left. I just wanted to. This one just popped into my head too. If you had your choice, being an Iowa State fan, I'll give you an easy one on the way out. If you could have an 8-win football team or an NCAA tournament men's basketball team, which one would you take?
Can I have both?
I'm saying maybe not right this year, but if you could make that happen, would you take the 8-win football team over making the NCAAs in basketball? Because I think they have an NCAA basketball team in Ames right now. I mean it's really good.
8 wins is probably not enough. I'd want 9 or 10.
Right.
Instead of a tournament team. I'd go basketball. If it was 9 or 10, I would say, you know, football. But, you know, 8 wins is good, too. I would love to have 8 wins in football. I changed my answer. Probably 8 wins in football.
There you go. We'll all be happy with Matt Campbell. I'm there with you. Hey, thanks for jumping on today. I appreciate you. Have fun carrying in your bagless Costco goods. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
It'll be great. Yeah.
Zach Steenblok. You're listening to Scene on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Be back right after this break. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins tomorrow, they play the Brewers. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they got the Rangers in town, and then they have the Guardians on Monday and Tuesday. That is a big deal. And if we get a chance, we'll talk a little bit about baseball. 6.5 game lead right now for them. That's why I'm not talking about it, because every time I talk about it, it goes down. And I want that to happen. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. They provide, design, engineer, install, program, and service HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com to check out a outstanding automation, machinery, manufacturing company, Woodman Controls. Okay. So, a little bit of breaking news here. If you're a fantasy football guy, today, this afternoon, late here, like 15, 20 minutes ago, the Indianapolis Colts have granted running back Jonathan Taylor to go out and seek a trade. That opens up a lot of possibilities, being in the market that we're in. One of the biggest possibilities is Jonathan Taylor going to the Kansas City Chiefs. And don't think that that's far-fetched. I know that they've looked at that. I know that sometimes that doesn't fit that their whole thing, but Jonathan Taylor is a difference maker in both the running game and the passing game. And I've never heard Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes say anything about, oh yeah, don't give me any more weapons. That could be really interesting. Here's something that's even more interesting, and it has a little bit of family to it. My brother and sister-in-law, Susie and Ted, are Ohio State fans. I don't remember the last time that I could read this kind of headline at the University of Ohio State. And the headline is, Ohio State split right down the middle in quarterback between Kyle McCord and Devin Brown. The offense is looking to replace C.J. Stroud, at least a two-year starter. I'm trying to think if he was there the third year, but I know for sure he was a two-year. And have a battle between McCord and Brown going into camp. It's extremely close. They're not the same, and it looks like they've kind of bought in, and they're doing their best to battle against each other, but not taking it out on each other to make Ohio State the best that it could be, which is kind of cool to see and happen. It looks like that they are pretty much, they're not against each other all the time. McCord was the what was he? He was the number 31 overall in the 2020 class, and Brown was number 81 in the 2022 class. McCord has a year of experience on Brown, and if competition persists heading into the season, that experience might be the factor that gives him the first start or a little bit more of a majority of snaps. I wouldn't be surprised if he played them both. But in a team that is competing for a national championship did not have their quarterback 2 weeks before their first game, that's an interesting thing. I have to talk about this one today, too. So Sha'Carri Richardson capped her comeback by winning a star-studded 100-meter win, and it wasn't close. It was amazing. She finished in 10.65 to match the year's best time and set the world championship record. It was the first competition on the world stage. So congrats to her. I mean, it was a huge deal. It was an amazing race. It was very, very fun to watch. And, it's going to be an interesting season. It's going to be an interesting season in all these conferences. When you look back at all the things that have happened so far in this offseason, the biggest thing is that we're going to end up at the end of the year, you're going to be dropping down a conference. Now, there's a slight chance that the Pac-12 will add more teams and become a conference, but it's not going to become a conference that it was in the past. It's going to have a hard time being in a Power Five conference with some of the teams that they're thinking about bringing in. That brings this down to the Big Ten, the SEC, and the Big 12, with the ACC hanging on for dear life as well. A lot of stuff out there when you look at all of this, and it's an interesting dynamic, because the way of college sports, and this is the reason that I am so, I don't know where to make my biggest point. I understand college football is the king, and that you have to get a piece of that pie in order to get where you need to go as an entire program. I looked at the top 25, and when Scott comes in tomorrow, we'll go through the first official. You know, now that we're going to have some football played in the next 2 weeks, the first official college football poll. And the interesting thing about this poll in the last, I think it said 6 years. It could have been five, but I thought it said six. There is at least six teams that are in the initial top 25 poll that drop out. So when you take a look at this year's, and we'll go through some of that tomorrow on the program, Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and try to figure out if we can pick some, because this is a popularity contest or a I'm going to prove my point contest when you're trying to pick football teams and who's going to be the best football team in the country and who gets to start at number one. I mean, I just got done talking about Ohio State and their quarterback situation. They don't have a quarterback ready to go. Does that mean that they're not going to be good? Absolutely not. It means that they are going to be good, number one, because they have two really good quarterbacks. But they're a good football team. But if you're going through and you went through your schedule and you had Ohio State at 11-1, 12-1 with a starting quarterback that's never played a game in college football, I mean that's an interesting way to look at the season. I'll take the Michigan Wolverines. This is a football team that's very talented. You have to play at least three games without Jim Harbaugh. Now, 4 years ago, people had said, hey, if we're playing this game without Jim Harbaugh here, maybe we're going to win more games, until he started winning football games. And now he's back to being Jim Harbaugh again. But that's one of the biggest things when we start to look at college sports is everybody wants to get to the end. And everybody forgets about what the beginning was. And the very beginning of all of this that's transpiring right now, and this is why I'm saying we need to take a step back because it's not the end of the world, is the first domino to start in this whole thing was Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12 to go to the SEC. That was a big coup for the SEC. And if you would go back to that day after that happened, the demise of the Big 12 was everywhere. Everywhere. But through leadership and all of that, they took a deep breath. They went out. They picked up BYU. They picked up Cincinnati. They picked up Central Florida. And they picked up Houston. All four of those programs help their football programs. All four of their programs help in every other Olympic sport that's out there. But they didn't stop there. And the reason that they didn't stop there was because nobody else was stopping. So what was the next one to fall? The next one to fall was the Big Ten grabbing USC and UCLA. Now, that was a grab for... When you look at Oklahoma and Texas, that was a grab for not only notoriety, money, and moving the map around. That was a huge get for the Big Ten, grabbing who they grabbed was grabbing USC and UCLA for their football lineage. For they fit into what the Big Ten has academically as well. It fit for a lot of Olympic sports, but it didn't have the same, I don't think it had the same type of outcome that Texas and Oklahoma had. Texas and Oklahoma, you're bringing big fan bases. You're bringing... programs that have been more relevant in the last, except for Texas. Texas has not been relevant maybe in the last 3 or 4 years. But the fan base was the big deal. you look at a USC or a UCLA football game, unless they're playing each other, there wasn't a lot of fans at these football games. But so the Pac-12 lost USC and UCLA. And everybody thought, okay, so the moral of the story is we are going to get down to, when that happened, the moral of the story was we're going to get down to maybe drop in a conference because, you know, can, even before the BYU, Cincinnati, Central Florida, and Houston, it was, I think the Big 12 probably reached out to the Pac, and I think we now know that, and said, you know, we should try to see if we can combine and see if we can do this. And the Pac-12 didn't want to do that. And then after, when you lose someone like UCLA and USC, even though it is its brand, and Texas and Oklahoma was the Big 12's brand. And then you had this turmoil for the past couple of years of what happened, and it got pushed a little bit, and the Big 12 pushed hard enough to get Colorado to come, and then you have other conferences that pushed hard enough to get others to come, and now the Pac-12 is down to four, and the ACC has football teams in it that want to leave the conference. So as it stands, it's going to be very interesting at the end of the year to see. Now, the thing that the ACC has as a conference is a huge buyout for these teams to, if they wanted to go to the Big Ten or if they wanted to go to the SEC. And there's a couple. Clemson would be a big. Florida State would be a big. I mean, those are the two schools that a lot of people would push for. North Carolina, because of its, and this is one of mine, and I'm slowly bringing some people over. This isn't just about football, because you have to bring the NCAA basketball tournament into it. That contract is coming up. That is a lot of money. If all you think you need to compete in all this is to have a good football conference, you have to have a good basketball conference, because you have to be a part of that, wanting to grab that money. And that's going to be the interesting thing for everybody, is to see where this goes next. Now, the East Coast would love to tell you that this is going to be a Big Ten and an SEC, and then they're going to grab who they want, and everybody else is going to have to go and pick up scraps. I think that's Regency bias. I don't think that's true. Especially don't think that's true when you look at the amount of money they got for their television contracts is there. When you break down viewership and who they want to be on their television, on their broadcast, they have a lot of teams in both of those two conferences that nobody wants to watch on TV. And that could happen in any conference. It happens a lot. It also depends on winning, brand, all of that. It's a combination of all these different things. I think this is going to be the most exciting football season in a long time. And then I think all heck breaks loose next year, because I think NIL becomes bigger. I think the transfer portal becomes bigger. I think all these things are going to mix, and you're going to have about 6 months of unbelievable talk show, radio, and sports. You're listening to Scene on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. One more segment left, a little potpourri to end the night. Be right back.
The Champ.
Monday, last segment on this Monday. Wow, that went fast today. I want to thank Zach Steenblok for coming in today. Scotty will be in here with me tomorrow. Can't wait for that. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter @Steen on Sports and @1700 The Champ. Facebook @1700 The Champ as well. Tomorrow is the last of the Twins and Brewers games. And then we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Twins, Texas Rangers, big games. And then a big two-game series with the Guardians starting next Monday, Tuesday. So looking forward to that. As always, I want to thank Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Broad Lawns Medical Center for being a part of our program. Appreciate all of them. Once again, started the show out this way, but want to say again, thank you to the Iowa State Fair. Enjoyed doing our show out there a couple of days. Enjoyed all the activities, festivities, food, viewing. It was a great fair, great weather all the way through until it got hot, and still record numbers, the second best fair ever. Some really crazy days of a lot of people being out there. So a ton of fun, and we had a great time doing our show live and just being out there and talking to people and seeing people and meeting people. Loved it. Wouldn't miss it. Thought it was amazing. Want little potpourri. Sister Jean from Loyola, Chicago is 104 today. 104. I thought the temperature being hot at 104, it's supposed to be 101, 101, 102 in the next couple of days. So then I'm assuming the heat index is going to be above, but happy birthday to Sister Jean. Just wanted to, this is important because it's Monday night countdown. Monday night countdown on ESPN has been a flagship part of that station for a long time. And ESPN has gone through a incredible transfer of a lot of things. From shows to radio programming to TV programming. So they needed their Monday night football countdown team, and they announced it this morning. Scott Van Pelt. I'm a huge Scott Van Pelt fan. One of the main reasons I love listening to sports talk radio and doing sports talk radio. If it wasn't Dan Patrick, it was Scott Van Pelt. Enjoy listening to him. Joining him on Monday Night Countdown will be Ryan Clark, Marcus Spears, Robert Griffin III, Michelle Biesner-Buck, and Larry Fitzgerald and Alex Smith. It's just a new group of people, and it's going to be very interesting to see how that all works out. And it's going to be, I mean, all their radio shows, they just announced all their radio shows today. Every single one of the radio shows, except for Greeny in the Morning, are changing. It's been an interesting couple of years in sports talk radio. It is a fun place to be. Not as easy as what people think, but not as hard as what people think either. But a lot of turmoil out there. So it's always interesting to see what new shows and what new things are going to happen. So as soon as I get done with this show today, and I'll say this on the radio and make sure that I pass it along as well. But J.W. Cox, who is the voice of the UNI Panthers, sent me an email today that we're wanting to do at least one time a week doing a broadcast on talking about UNI sports in general and sports in general, and looking forward to that. So as soon as I get done with the show today, I'm going to drop him an email saying, yeah, anytime that you want on here, you are welcome on here. Enjoy talking with him and enjoy his insights on the UNI Panthers, that we are a proud UNI Panther affiliate. Just always want to make sure that we're Minnesota Twins affiliate, a Kansas City Chiefs affiliate, and a UNI Panther affiliate, and we take those very seriously here. One of the big things getting ready for college football, and you get some early kickoffs towards the end of the week, you have the top five Heisman candidates that are going to be out. You're going to have to do something special to not have Caleb Williams repeat. Now, they don't like to have repeat champions. They've had a few. It's a pretty good football team. And he would be, to me, he's the front runner right now. The second out there betting favorite is Marvin Harrison Jr. But that's with two inexperienced quarterbacks, so that'll be interesting to see how that works out. Blake Corum, great running back. And then you have Drake May, another really, really good quarterback. It just depends on how well his football team does. And then you have Quinn Ewers. Does he live up to expectations at the University of Texas? And I will tell you now that I bet that out of those five, maybe two of them will be there at the end of the year, and maybe three others will come in. That would be my my guess, since I can't think of that. Okay, so here's the big one that was hit at me today by a bunch of people, and because of what we currently have happening, and it is so hot out. And this was a poll that's been out. It's Sound Off had it out. I think CBS had it out. I think we at Cumulus had this out. Which is worse? And specifically, which is worse in the state of Iowa? Extreme cold or extreme heat? And man, I am, this is one-sided as heck. And I would have told you before, I didn't mind either one of them. I didn't especially like extreme hot, and I didn't like extreme cold. And then in various things that I've done throughout my life, I've had to work in both of them full time. And I'm here to tell you, it's much easier to recuperate from extreme heat than it is extreme cold. I will take extreme heat any day of the week, twice on Sunday. This particular poll is, which is worse, and they agree, it was 52% extreme cold and 48% extreme heat. Now, granted, it's not fun when it's hot and you can't go out and do things. It is not totally enjoyable to be sweaty and all of that when you're out working. But it is nothing. I'm not, my fingers aren't freezing. My toes aren't freezing. My nose isn't free. I will work in heat any day. I'm trying to think how long ago. It's even longer than I thought, because I think I'm getting ready to go on my 10th year at being at my current company. So 11 to 13 years ago, I worked at a Catholic elementary school for a few years in church. And let me tell you, taking care of the facilities when it is snowy and icy and cold is the worst thing ever. It's not even close. It's not even close to being close on my feelings on where you're at there. It's just, it is not there. So a little bit of homework. So this is kind of what we're going to be going off of for the top 25 tomorrow. This is going to be one of the topics for Scott and I. So you have Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Texas, Michigan, Southern Cal, Clemson, Notre Dame, Penn State, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Oregon, Florida State, Utah, Wisconsin, Texas A&M, Florida, TCU, Ole Miss, Washington, Texas Tech, BYU, Oregon State, and North Carolina. There's your top 25. On average, there are six teams that will not be on there at the end of the season. Six. That's going to be some interesting. It's going to be very interesting. Oregon is on there, North Carolina is on there because of Drake May. If something would happen to Drake May, that would be Oregon State. That's somebody, that's enough people thinking, okay, the Pac-12 last year, they're not, I don't know about that one either. Baylor, Texas Tech, Oklahoma and Texas, and I don't know. That's a lot of teams. And TCU. So 1, 2, 3, 4, that's five. Five teams from one conference, that's difficult to do. It's going to be very interesting to see who Scott and I can come up on an agreement on who we think the six that will not make it. You've been listening to Steen on Sports. I appreciate it. Thank you for this Monday. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Bring it sports your way every day. That's my job. I hope I'm doing a good one. I will see you tomorrow. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ.